6 weeks straight. I've been staying up too late, booked on to pieces page by page, and nothing learned and nothing gained. But I've got nowhere to go. There's threats on the city and the bridges are closed. Yesterday fell a full foot of snow, a slate black sky and a bright white glow. But I've been thinking of going west, just to climb up as high as I can get, press my souls to paths great men set, push me right to the edge. And I know inside I'll find my way back to this city some night. Feel the ground shake as the train goes by. Not one star in the sky, babe. Said the Midtown tunnel's open, so let's ride. But I say, darling, I just don't feel much like going to Brooklyn tonight. I should try and sleep and lay me down and just try to breathe. Count each time that my heart skips a beat. Not one light in the house, but what comes in from the street.
Weird ending. I forget how my songs end. Guy Clark told me if you forget how a song ends, just to put a blues lick on the end of it, which so far has worked out very well for me. Because people were giving me a bunch of hell about not being able to remember my older songs. And it's like, well, I have made 6 records with my 7th record coming out this year. I'd like to see you remember that. It's like, do you remember the last 7 years of exactly what you did at work? I don't either. I know what we'll do. This will be I wrote this next song to be a duet and couldn't get who I wrote it for, so it didn't. It ceased to be a duet.
Is coming on now. Do I seek shelter? Do I breast the storm? Just 2 fools out in the rain, happy to be together now. We're just two strangers at a bus stop talking about the weather, worried about the weather. Will you love me, baby? Will you love me, Twister, no, not to wreck a home. Oh, no, don't take a night to feel like you're in the dark and on your own. Now the rain just started, so the river's gonna rise, and there you stand on your side, baby, and here I stand on mine, baby. Cast ahead, just don't look bright. The scattered thunderstorms and winds out of the west make a day feel like one long night. So there's no use in waiting for the weather to change. Now it might change tomorrow. It might never, never be the same. Worried, baby, worried about the weather. Whether you'll love me, whether you'll love me. I say worried, worried about the weather. Whether you'll love me, babe, whether you'll love me.
Thank you. I'm glad this isn't one of the ones where they say, don't acknowledge the crowd. And I'm like, how do you do that? How do you not acknowledge the crowd? It's like, have you seen one of my shows? I acknowledge the crowd. I may not take requests. And if you get too loud, I'll embarrass you. Yes, I will. So let's see. This song is, I'm at first must say, is not about my wife. I wrote it before I met my wife. It's, for some reason, the press keeps writing that this song is about my wife and that picture in a drawer is about my mother dying. And my mother is alive and well, I guarantee you, and driving me insane. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I don't need that for this. This thing's doing pretty good. It's very new, so I'm very surprised.
When I was young, I was free to go. I didn't need nobody, I just traveled alone. I'd pick up a few things, slip off into the night, baby. I'm everywhere I go these days. My baby drives, my baby drives me to work on Sundays, take me to see my mama every other Monday. Some might say I'm the luckiest man alive. No, I would everywhere I go these days. My baby drives us all. I'm Cause I know she won't let me drive. But I don't care, no, I don't mind, just as long as she lets me ride. Now I'm sitting here waiting for the whistle to blow. I'm coming early, now I'm raring to go. I can hear my baby pulling up outside now. Everywhere I go these days, my baby, oh, everywhere I go these days, my baby drives.
Thank you. It's early for me. It's usually not, but I've been riding a lot recently and not writing songs, and so it's been a lot of late nights, because I also, my brain can work on writing more than if I don't have to play guitar. Let's do, I wrote this song not necessarily for Billie Holiday, but everybody knows the story of Billie Holiday. Everybody always starts that story with one of two ways, either a great singer that was a junkie or a junkie that was a great singer, and everybody already knows that. If you don't know that already, then you don't deserve to know that already. And so, but people forget that at one point she was a little girl. You know, she was a little girl who was not a drug addict, and she was just a little girl from Baltimore that really never had a chance. So I think that this is for absolutely one of the most misunderstood figures in music history, except maybe Rocky Erickson.
Has she been around tonight? Give a call if she should happen by. Cause it's been at least a week now since last time I seen her. White dress, white shoes, white gardenias. Maybe she went back to Baltimore. Bet she packed her bags the night before. Took a taxi down to Lexington 44th. So take me back to Baltimore. Yeah, cause long ago she left her heart there when she could not stop the bleeding. White dress, white shoes, white gardenias.
And if you back that up with the idea that just playing those great songs in your great live band is enough reward for you, then you're f***ing set. But you gotta be badass. You just have to be really good.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Hi, welcome to the 13th floor. I'm Marty Duda, and today we're really excited to have Justin Towns Earl coming around to play a song and have a chat.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Yeah, we saw your show last night at the Tuning Fork. It was fantastic. It was great to see you with a band playing with the Sadies. It was.
It's fun to play with that band.
Yeah, I can tell. I mean, just when they came on, because they were the opening act as well, it felt like, oh, here's a real rock and roll band that, you know, they had kind of nudie suits and stuff, but they look like a band, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not everybody always. How did you manage to connect with them?
We've known each other for maybe, you know, 12, 13 years, something like that. We met, we actually met through a very, very much mutual love of marijuana, and then it kind of went from there, and we were always kind of looking, you know, toying with the idea of working together. And when this popped up, they happened to have a record coming out at the same time that I had one coming out, and they were, we have the same booking agent.
Right.
And so it finally worked out after all those years.
Yeah.
And I wish I wish it was something that we could have done before, because it changes the whole way of. I've had various different bands over time, and it's each one was fun, but there's something more freeing about being in front of these guys. I don't have to worry about a single thing that they're going to do behind me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I just get to be the front man.
And yep.
That's, you know, as somebody who performs solo most of the time, that's not what you get to do. Yeah, you're the front man, but you're holding the rhythm, the beat, the putting all the notes in, you're singing, you're doing it all. And so it's nice to be able to, you know, you'll notice sometimes I just take my hands off my guitar and I'm just like, hey, you know, because I can.
Right, right. So does it, I wanted to ask you if having a band behind you like that, especially one that you have such faith in, affects your performance as far as vocals and all that stuff, and just in terms of how you deliver your thing?
I think it definitely will make you a better singer. You just know when you know that, like, they're gonna be there. You know that they're gonna be where they're supposed to be. It's a lot easier for you to be there because you're not worried about it. Like on songs like White Gardenias, you know, every band that I've had before the Sadies, there's a point right before the last verse where everything just stops.
Right.
And I come back in by myself. Every band I've had before that, the drummer had to count. Two, three, click, click, click. And that, they don't at all. Like, they, and the drummer, if you notice, Sean and Mike don't even look at each other. They just fall in at the right spot.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing thing. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
Were you ever in a band in your early days before you were solo?
Yeah, I had various bands. I mean, I had punk rock bands when I was real young.
That's what I figured it was going to be.
Absolutely. And then, but by the time I was 15, you know, 15, 16 years old, especially, I was fully committed into like the more old timey music scene. Had a band called the Swindlers in Nashville for a while with a couple friends. But that was kind of the end of it for me because I decided I was going to be a solo artist after that because I did not like the democracy
right.
of it all. I mean, it's like it was having to deal with. I knew one thing is I didn't want to play the other guy's songs.
Right.
You know, I just and I'm not a player. I don't, you know, I'm not one of those guys people ask me to get up on stage.
Yeah.
It's like, and I always tell them, it's like, I'll get up and sing. It's like, I know that the way that I play guitar is like, looks fancy, but it's like, I don't know mathematically what I'm doing. So if you tell me, oh, this is in G and it's a 1-4 minor 3-5, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
None.
Well, yeah, I suppose it makes a big difference as far as, you know, how you approach what you're going to do and whatever. So, yeah. The Kids in the Street album, it's been out for a little while now. You recorded this in Nashville, did you?
No, I recorded this one in Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was a big departure, but it was something that was. I worked with Mike Mogus, so right. He owns his own studio, Arc Bark Recording Studios in Omaha, and he doesn't really, in the years before he had that studio, he'd work pretty much wherever, but now that he's got his place, and it's in his backyard, so he gets to eat dinner with the kids at night and stuff when he records. And yeah, so it was, I made this record in a studio with a producer I didn't know, and with players that I did not know. Except for one, I brought Paul Niehaus with me.
Yeah.
He goes everywhere with me.
Yeah, man, a wise choice. He was awesome last night again.
Absolutely.
So, and having different people that you don't know playing on that thing, how does that affect your recording process? And
it makes it strange. I mean, I will say after the first day of recording, me and there's a guest house where the band from out of town stays. So staying, and there was just me and Paul, and there was a discussion around the table of oh my, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know, like, what are we going to be in it? But it was also too, I mean, you get used to recording in Nashville. You get used to this idea. It's just like, well, yeah, bring that guitar player over. If he doesn't work, I know 100 other guys we can call.
Right.
And we were recording in a place where there was not two other guys to call, much less 100.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was a definite uneasy feeling that came with it. But it's like you had to just kind of, you know, plant your feet and dive in as much as you could. And it was, and it turned out great. Just working with everybody was really good. I did have to, you know, I did have to do a lot of direction as far as like, well, I'll tell you this, me and Mike have different sources of music. You know, he's more of he's your indie kid.
Right.
You know, he's your total indie kid. And even though he's older than me, but you know, he was the original of the original indie kids.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm very much traditionalist. So, you know, it's like we can talk about, you know, we could talk about Husker Du, yes, but when I brought up Eddie Hinton, right. Now I needed to go dig up that record to play it, you know. But then there was a lot of stuff that he, you know, would bring up to me that I was just like, I've never heard of that, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was a real, real interesting thing, yeah.
All right. Now, one of the things that you touched on last night, probably the most intense moment of the show, was when you were introducing White Gardenias and you were referring to the heroin epidemic that's happening in the U.S., and you made quite impassioned few comments about, you know, instead of placing blame, to kind of have some compassion for these people that are being affected by this. And I know pretty much everyone who knows you knows that you were been through all that back in the 90s as well. And I was just wondering if you wanted to elaborate more on that, because it's not really here. The drug problem is more of a meth thing than than a heroin thing at the moment, but it's still a thing, you know.
Yeah,
and I have a feeling the root causes are universal.
Yeah, they're the same. No matter what the drug is, you know, what gets you there is the same. The results of what happens after you use the drug is the only difference. I mean, it's in the States where, you know, Australia has a big heroin problem, and so I think that it's like I've realized that England has a big heroin problem. Everywhere, Sweden has a big heroin problem. It's all kind of just gone everywhere, and it's just the reason that I think I've gotten so up in arms about it now is just like, is now we're lying to people, to kids even more,
right?
Because when they do heroin, they're not doing heroin; they're doing maybe a 10% of heroin mixed with fentanyl,
right?
You know, and so it's like, I'm so glad I went through what I did in the 90s when we had real dope.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
well, I've never been any kind of drug user, but I've always believed that it should be legalized. And that's one of the reasons, is because at least you know what you're getting and you can control it. And
exactly.
I mean, people are going to do what people are going to do. It's like with cigarettes. It would be ridiculous to try and outlaw cigarette smoking. You just turn it into a black market industry.
Absolutely. Well, it's like the marijuana industry in Oregon, where I live. They have found that less teenagers are smoking weed now because it's okay to do it. It's okay, right. So it's not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. Now, you're going to perform a song for us, and it's not one that's on the album. In fact, it's a cover.
Yeah, it's actually buried in the album.
Is it?
In the CD. It's not, not listed.
You haven't put it as a third track or an extra track on
the
vinyl.
It's buried in the CD.
Okay.
Yeah, only. It's digitally encoded in there somehow.
Excellent. And it's a Paul Simon song.
Yes.
And you mentioned in your show last night that one of the reasons that you like to record it or like to play it is because you feel it is kind of disrespected over the years by certain people. What do you mean by that?
Well, like the people like... well, like people that grew up like Mogus and all his, like the guys that he came up with, you know, my friends too. I mean, it's like you grow up like when we were, well, I mean, when I was a kid, it was like try being, you were just inundated with that, the Graceland record. It was just everywhere. It was on TV. It was on commercial. I mean, it was everywhere. Paul Simon was huge. And I think that for some reason there was people... like looked at that record as I think especially the rockers and the blues guys looked at it as world music or something like that, and it's so far from that. You know, it happens to have an African band on it, but I'll be damned if you can throw that in the slot with world music. Mm. It's he's just, what he did was he went deeper into, basically deeper into the graveyard, and he dug up the bodies, you know, that all the way down into the South, and then took what was brought to the South and dug it all the way back up in Africa.
Yeah.
Realize that all those rhythms that we deal with are just bastardized versions of something that they came up with before us.
Very cool. Well, we'll give a listen to your version of it. Anything, have you got anything else coming up, plans recording-wise or anything?
Not recording just yet. Just we still got all pretty much all next year on this, you know, on this tour. We're going to take the deep winter off, and then festival season starts up in the spring in the States. So it'll be always moving. But I'll have to have another, I'll write another record soon. Started working on it, but it's going to be a while.
Alrighty. Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by. Much appreciated.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the Mississippi Delta is shining like a national guitar. I'm following the highway down the river through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Oh boy, pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. And my traveling companion, he's 9 years old, and he's the child of my first marriage. And I have reason to believe we all will be received in Graceland. Back and tells me she's gone now. As if I didn't know that, as if I didn't know my own bed, as if I'd never noticed the way she combs her hair off her forehead. She says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart, and everybody sees the wind blowing. Whoa, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. And my traveling companions, ghosts and empty sockets, I'm looking at ghosts of empties. Reasons I cannot explain this, some part of me wants to see Graceland. There's a girl in New York City, well, she calls herself the human trampoline. Whenever I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I see her, so this is what she means. And she means we're bouncing into Graceland. And she says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart, and everybody sees the wind blowing. Whoa, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. I may be obliged to defend every love and every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. reason I cannot explain. There's some part of me wants to see Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland.
When you walk into a club and you see a band that blows you away, you are going to follow that band. You're going to either buy their CD, or you're going to find them online, or you're going to see them the next time they come to play. You don't have to stand in line at the song contest on TV to become a f***ing popular musician.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Detroit rock, baby, that's a fact. Anybody say different, better get back track. Well, you gotta be tall, but there's good times to be had. I'd like to think everybody here knows that. So let's talk about a place that you might not have known. Just a little further along up the road, where you know about the meet now. Baby, let's get down to the bones. I'll tell you about a place really made a mecca roll. Son of a bitch named Roger Smith. Well, he cut our throat with the stroke of a fountain pen. Been knocked down, but we're gonna get up again. It's been TV shaking. Been TV shaking.
We did something new, now let's do something old. Oh shit. No, not now. Not, late, we'll do it later. Probably, it's too early for that shit. So let's see. Can I get a little more guitar up here?
Just a skosh. Usually don't go that way. I'll sign it for you, you know, if I hit you with it. Not that that's worth shit, you know. So let's try another new one. This is the title track off my next record that's coming out in May, Saint of Lost Causes. Backed up to a chain link fence. pieces. Now it's a cruel world, oh, but it ain't hard to understand. You got your sheep, you got your shepherds, you got your wolves amongst men. Hard to tell. Might find a wolf in shepherd's clothes. Now and then you're gonna find sheep in amongst all them troubled souls. But there's nothing can be done. That's just the way it goes. First you go back, you get mean, then there's nothing left but to grow cold and you pray. This ain't a lost cause, yeah. Some might say I've got no faith, no heart, surely no shame. The truth is that this has been with me so long that I must admit I kinda like the pain I'm making. You ever had? Better yet, how many wolves you ever even seen? You got about as much chance seeing one of them as you do running into me. But still take nothing for granted. Might live on the best block in Beverly Hills, but still you lock up tied at night, 'cause you know poor folks ain't got nothing to steal. Just pray the sin and lost causes. Yeah, you pray. Pray the sin of lost causes. Stop.
nothing, no one waiting on me, baby, yeah.
Shut that goddamn door. What are we supposed to do with that shit? Let's play a song for Mama. Because you know what? Any kind of man that I am today is because of my mother. I ain't got nothing to do with my daddy. Oh, it is. I mean, my mama's 6'1", and could, I guarantee you could whip any man's ass in this room. You do not fuck with white trash from West Nashville, Tennessee. So we got a few more for you. Oh, don't clap yet. You don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I could just, like, pull out a snare drum and start farting on it. And, you know, I think that could be the show. That'd be pretty good. That would be hilarious, wouldn't it? You know, loosen up that chain. There ain't no encores at South by Southwest. You do your show and you get the fuck out. You know?
Listening to The Hawk 101.5 FM, broadcasting across Hamilton from the edge of the Niagara Escarpment.
In this hour, nothing but Beatles. No, that's not happening. Not this show. I'm just joking around. Gunnar here, Steel City Music on The Hawk, 12 p.m. till 7 p.m. every Friday, of course. And this hour, nothing but ska. Yes, fun, dancey, ska, because sometimes we just need to have a little bit of fun in our music. So there you go. So in this hour, you're going to hear everything from Desmond Dekker to Al Berry and the Cinerons, the Specials, the Beat, the Toasters, Toots, Maytals, Scatolite, some Bad Manners, all the fun stuff. See, it's just going to be fun. You know, you put this on and then you listen to it and you do stuff around the house or you do stuff in the yard or you kind of bop when you're at the old office if you're listening online. All those fun things. Yeah. Because it's just fun music. Not a lot of it. You don't want 7 hours of it. Just an hour is perfect on Steel City Music.
Hey, you! Don't watch that! Watch this! This is the heavy, heavy monster sound! The nuttiest sound around! So if you're coming off the street and you're beginning to feel the heat, Well, listen, Buster, you better start to move your feet to the rockin'est rock steady beat of madness. One step beyond.